This is Preach Electric to a Microphone, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Here Jess Roar and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Radio, Alternate Universe, Everyone Lives, Nobody Dies, Miscommunication, Music, When the Day Met the Night. No, really. Nightmares. Eating Disorder Not Otherwise Specified. Summary. In Hawkins, Metalhead Ed mans the airwaves at night, and Colin with Chrissy rules the morning commute. Three guesses which show is more popular, and the first two don't count. Things are looking up for Eddie, though. He's got a soft-spoken mystery caller on the line, and a pretty morning DJ who always smiles at him on his way out of the station. He has a caller. It's 2 in the morning, and Eddie has a caller. He swallows his mouthful of coffee and stares down at the little blinking light as Metallica plays around him. Now see, this could go one of two ways, and the second one never happens. Because this is Hawkins, and the only people who call into Eddie's show are the kind of people he doesn't want to talk to. They tell him his music is riling up the devil, to which he cheerfully agrees. Or they tell him he shouldn't be playing noise so late, like Eddie can control how people tune their damn radios. Seems like a personal problem if you ask him. But he has an obligation to pick up the phone. You're on the hook with Songs That Rock. Metalhead Ed on the airwaves. What can I spin for you tonight? Eddie runs his finger around the rim of his mug and waits for the yelling. It doesn't come. The line crackles in his ear. And for a second he wonders if someone has managed to misdial. Some sleep-deprived person who had a 7 instead of a 4 or something. It's happened. And, oh, okay. That's definitely a softer voice than he's used to on the other end.
Can I request a song?
Holy shit. You absolutely can. Eddie says, sitting up straight in his chair. He can't remember the last time anyone called into his show to put in a real request. He wonders if he might be hallucinating. And what name can I put to this request? Gotta give you your credit for when I get the call demanding my head on a pike. The line is quiet.
Cece?
She finally says. And Cece sounds like she's questioning why she's chosen to call in, so Eddie tones it down. The song he's got going has about 40 seconds left, and Eddie's eyeballing his mic, waiting to switch it back on. His headset is heavy enough without pulling it halfway up his head to answer the phone, but he really can't bring himself to care at this second. Any halfway decent station would have the phone hooked to the set, but fuck. He's lucky the Hawk has any funding in the first place. Beggars and choosers and all that.
I'm not sure what the title actually is,
Cece says sheepishly. And Eddie wants so badly to be disappointed by that, but he bites his lip on a grin.
But it's like, Ride the Tiger.
Holy Diver? She makes a little noise of confirmation, and Eddie resists the urge to pump his fist in victory. His first actual request in forever, and it was for Dio? Fuck him sideways, he's gotta be losing it. I will absolutely play Holy Diver for you, Cece. Thank you so much for calling in. You have a good night. And he's surprised that he means it. Usually, he's snarking it at some asshole who's just hung up on him right after Army crawling up his dick about his Satan music. It's a nice change. Eddie flips his mic as Metallica fades out. And to everyone's surprise, I've got a request from the lines. So while I dig that up, here's Anthrax with a song I know I'm gonna regret dropping the needle on. Eddie knows he runs his show by the grace of the station manager, who does not give a single shit what he does, so long as he keeps from playing dead air. No one else had wanted a show on from midnight to six, and hey, Eddie is nothing if not opportunistic. He keeps his language clean on air, plays what he wants, and fields the on-phone call. It's not a half-bad gig. Good morning, Eddie. And this part isn't half bad either. Chrissy Cunningham smiles at him, and Eddie smiles back. She's very pretty today, but she's very pretty every day. You'd think he'd be used to it by now, but no. He's of the opinion that nobody should look this good at 6 a.m, but she manages. She's got a thermos of her coffee in one hand, which Eddie knows she drinks black. Some fancy import grounds she brews at home because the pot at the station looks like a crime against humanity. And her purse slung over her shoulder. She likes blue eyeshadow and flouncy skirts with tights because the station is freezing. And her saying good morning to him as she walks in to start her show always makes Eddie's damn day after a night of spinning records for the ungrateful masses. Call In with Chrissy is a much more popular show than his, but Eddie can't say he holds it against her. She's sweet and savvy when it comes to her listeners, and while the music she plays isn't exactly to his taste, he always tunes in on his way home. Dustin had come in an hour ago to fill the space between the shows like he always does. The 10-minute grace period between them, always making for a smooth transition from night to morning ever since Dustin started the pre-recorded stopgap. The little shit is making kissy faces at him through the window behind Chrissy's back. And if Eddie thought he could get away with it without her seeing, he'd flip him off. Instead, he tells her to have a good show, and she thanks him brightly. And as he leaves, Eddie notes with concern that despite her sunny smile, her concealer isn't quite managing to cover up the deep purple circles under her eyes. It's not something she means to start. But after waking up in a cold sweat for the umpteenth time in several weeks, her heart trying its best to crack through the cage of her ribs as she gulps for air, Chrissy will do just about anything to fill the long hours that have been robbed from her sleep schedule. She never remembers her nightmares. Not really. Something about her mother's voice. Something about her father's refusal to see. It gets blurry after a while. And it leaves her with an ache in her head and her heart that tastes so much like loneliness. Loneliness and hurt. It's all she can do not to choke on it as she sits up in bed. Metalhead Ed becomes her sought-out company. It's too embarrassing to mention to him at work, in those stolen moments when he's leaving and she's coming in. Time too precious to waste admitting to Eddie that she's been listening to him. But he's good, filling his time with funny anecdotes that are just long enough to gap the time between songs. That loud guitar he likes so much turning into white noise for her as she lays in bed with the covers kicked off, tear tracks drying tacky on her cheeks. She never knows the songs he plays, but there's something soothing in the chaos of them. And I'd just like to remind my listeners that I keep the lines open all night long, just for the angry little accountant who calls every night to remind me I'm going to hell. I'll save you a seat, bud, Eddie says, and Chrissy snorts, scrubbing at her face. He never gets any requests. It's something she'd noticed early on. And after a few nights of it, her heart breaking for him, because she can't help but think about her own show and how it would make her feel if this was the sort of feedback she was constantly getting, it's a wonder he hasn't quit. And he smiles at her in the mornings, but she's been noticing the slump in his shoulders, the heavy shift in his walk. Eddie puts on a good front of nobody's opinion ever getting to him, but this kind of harassment? Water washes stones to nothing, and even a rock like Eddie is bound to be worn down by it. She's dialing the familiar number before she can think. And God, he sounds so excited when she asks to request a song. It surprises her when he asks for her name, but she knows that it shouldn't. Living alone or not, she's still keeping her voice low, and it's not like it wouldn't sound different over the phone and in the station. She, of all people, knows how hard it is to place a voice when your brain is keeping track of timing and phone lines and lists and notices. But a flush of embarrassment races through her, and instead of letting him know that it's her, Chrissy tells him, "Cece," in the quietest voice she can manage. She's not terribly good at thinking on her feet. Not when she hasn't been sleeping recently. And not with Metalhead Ed on the phone with her like a stranger. The song she gives is one she does actually know the title of, but it escapes her at that exact second, her brain too busy playing catch-up to remember. But she'd heard him humming it to himself on the way out of work a few weeks ago, and it's not hard to remember Holy Diver when that's all the lyrics seem to consist of. Not that she'd ever tell him his music all kind of blurs together for her. She's sure he would feel the same about hers if he listened to her show. Which, well, of course he wouldn't. Paul, their station manager, likes to complain to her sometimes about Eddie's lack of professionalism on the air, but Chrissy thinks he's pretty far from a shock jock. His attitude is laid back, absolutely, but he never plays anything with language that could get them fined. And all things considered, he takes the harassment in stride. It all just seems so unfair. He fields those calls himself. Listens to people yell at him at 4 in the morning in a slot that nobody wanted, and still smiles at her every time she sees him. Chrissy doesn't even answer her own lines. Dustin does. And he does a fantastic job at sorting out who gets to make it to air and who just wants to say something inappropriate to her. "You kiss your mother with that mouth?" she'd heard him asked on more than one occasion. And she's never asked exactly what it is that people want to say to her that Dustin shuts down. It's not worth thinking about. It's not Chrissy's job to deal with creeps. Her job is to spin records, give announcements, and to do the intro to the Casey Kasem America Top 40 broadcast before she goes home. She's sure that in a bigger city, there would be so much more to it. But this is Hawkins, and the most exciting thing she's gotten to announce in the last 4 months is the county fair. And as Eddie wishes her a good night, still sounding giddy, Chrissy tells herself that she'll mention calling in to him in the morning. She doesn't. Because he had looked so light when he turned the booth over to her. And something in her chest, something that liked the secrecy of it, the "I did that" of it all. Something stirred in her heart. And Chrissy swallows down her confession. You're on Calling with Chrissy. What can I play to make your day? Eddie smiles to himself and turns the volume knob up. The whole hook of Chrissy's show is that people get to make it onto the air to put in their requests. But he knows they have to go through Dustin first. People love to hear themselves and their friends on the radio. But he runs his show alone. And he can't risk those calls making it to air. It's fine. He doesn't need that sort of anxiety. Chief Hopper's daughter has called in to request you don't mess around with Jim for her dad's birthday. Gross. Heartwarming and gross. He's sure that Dustin only let the request through as a favor to Elle. The song is outside Chris's usual catalog, but she doesn't seem to mind, which tells him this call was probably planned in advance. You've got it, Janie Days, Chrissy says, and he can hear her smile. Chief, your kid says you're listening in the patrol truck, so this one's for you from her, and a happy birthday from the rest of us. Eddie turns the volume back down as the song starts. He does have his limits, after all. Cece calls again.
Something from Kix?
She asks, and Eddie wrinkles his nose. Far be it from him to criticize glam metal. He can dig Quiet Riot and Bon Jovi just fine. Kix isn't bad, just unexpected. Blow my fuse? He asks, and Cece agrees with his choice. Well, whatever, he thinks. It's not like any of his six listeners will know the shift anyway. And again.
Vixen, please?
Cece says, and Eddie huffs a laugh. You're gonna have to learn some titles one of these days, darling, he says. And what metal is.
Potato, potato,
Cece tells him.
Can I hear Joan Jett, too?
Eddie plays her Lita Ford instead, and Cece calls him back with laughter in her tired voice that makes his heart leap to his throat, choking him with what he thinks he hears as fondness in her tone. And again. There's something different in her voice. And Eddie knows he doesn't know her nearly well enough to be able to say that about her. This stranger, who calls and doesn't know a single damn title, but throws out names like she's browsed through the rock section of the music store and jotted down whatever artist she could. This girl who's awake in the middle of the night when the rest of Hawkins is asleep. This girl who... Well... This girl who's been making his nights the same way another girl's been making his mornings. If he thinks on it too long, something unsettles in his chest. Something he doesn't want to think about. It's ridiculous to have a crush on someone just for putting in requests. He knows that. And it's ridiculous to have a crush on someone else just because she's kind to him in the 10 minutes he gets to see her, with her sweet smiles that don't match the bone-dead exhausted look in her eyes these days. Eddie knows that, too. But there's an unmistakable quiver in Cece's voice tonight. Something brittle and thin.
Please, something that makes you happy.
She says, and Eddie swallows. He knows what it sounds like when someone is trying not to cry. Cece, darling, he says, and he isn't sure when he became the guy who calls girls by pet names. But the thing is that it wasn't girls, it was Cece. Are you okay? And God help him. Cece sniffles. The sound of it sits so wrong in his ears. His sweet and soft-spoken requester reduced to tears over the line. And he knows he has no right to feel so protective over a woman he's never met, has spoken to a handful of times, and traded nothing but friendly banter with during the devil's hours of the night. But he can't help how he feels.
Thank you,
she says, and Eddie's heart fractures into jagged shards.
for caring enough to ask.
The line goes dead, and Eddie feels like he goes with it. Chrissy stares at the receiver in her hand. She can't make herself take it back off the hook, but she can't take her hand off it either. She hung up on him. Her face is tight with dried tears, and when she tries to take in a breath, it's a nasty, snot-filled affair that her mother would scold her for, sobbing like a child in the dead of the night. Her mother. Chrissy crumples up the note in her fist, her mother's friendly little reminder to watch what she's been eating, stuck to a magazine with articles on weight loss so helpfully circled, and the whole thing jammed under her front door. She hasn't spoken to her mother in over a year. And without uttering a word, she's managed to worm her way back under Chrissy's skin and into her head. She can practically see the lipstick feathering at the corners of her mouth as she smiles, telling Chrissy that she wasn't young anymore. She couldn't afford to eat like the little pig she wanted to be as a child. Chrissy is 26, and her mother monster still haunts her waking hours like a nightmare she can't shake herself out of. And Eddie, who makes her laugh on the phone when she's tired and drowning and hurt she's been treading the water of her whole life, who tells her to have a good show when everyone knows he certainly didn't, who cares enough about who he thought was a total stranger to ask if she was okay? Well, she hung up on him. Some thank you. She drops the note to the floor and buries her face into her pillow as Eddie's familiar voice washes over her from the radio. She turned it down to call in to avoid the feedback loop, but in the quiet of the night, his voice comes through all the same. Susie, if you're still listening, and oh, God, his voice is so much gentler than his usual DJ tone, the persona he put on, as they all did, falling away. I hope you're okay. You asked for a song that makes me happy, but I'd rather play the one I listen to when I'm sad. I hope it helps, darling. She doesn't know it. Of course she doesn't. But the surprisingly soft beginning of melody drifts through her room. It's melancholy, and as the aggressive guitar she expected in the first place comes in, Chrissy feels tears eke down her face again. No one but me can save myself. What are you doing this afternoon? Eddie nearly trips down the steps of the station. He'd heard the door open behind him, but he'd figured it was either Dustin or one of his little gophers running out to get coffee for the morning crew. In no universe did he expect to hear Chrissy Cunningham calling after him, pressing her luck with the time for her show. She's at the top of the steps, fidgeting with her sleeves, her lip between her teeth, and looking so nervous. Eddie has to blink to make sure he hasn't made this image up in his head, a mirage brought on by his crappy sleep schedule and too much caffeine way too late. And he stands there looking gobsmacked for just a beat too long, because Chrissy's face blooms pink in the watery morning light, just barely beginning to peek through the night. Never mind, that was... Want to get lunch? He blurts. And he really hopes that's where she was going with this, because if she was only going to ask him to do something like swing by her apartment and water her plants, Eddie will die on the spot. But Chrissy smiles, and the sun couldn't compare on its best day. Yes, she says, and bounces on her toes. It's ridiculously charming, and Eddie's heart gives a painful squeeze in his chest. Yes, I'd love to. Eddie fiddles with his fork as Chrissy chases bubbles in her soda with her straw. It's oddly comfortable in the silence between them, and something about that sets off sparks in Eddie's chest. They're DJs. Filling the silence is what they do. But it's so nice to not have to do it off the clock. He hadn't been able to sleep like he normally would after he'd gotten home this morning. And while part of it was definitely the fact that he had what was maybe a date with the Chrissy Cunningham later, most of it was worry. Cece hadn't called him back. He hopes that he hadn't overstepped with his song choice and ruined her night even worse. Eddie talks a big game. And he'd been a bit of a hellion in high school. Shows down at the hideout, given him plenty of experience to back up his posturing. But how? He's far from heartless. And the memory of Cece's softly broken voice is haunting him. Chris? Eddie? She blinks at him and smiles. You go first, she says, and sips her Diet Coke. The basket of fries between them is mostly untouched on her side, and Eddie doesn't think she's noticed that he's noticed. And Chrissy is always beautiful, put together and polished even with the ungodly hours they keep, her hair curled and her eyeshadow perfect. None of it can hide the exhausted circles under her eyes, or the yawn she stifles in her sleeve. Eddie's got enough worry in him for two. Hawkins Diner post-lunch rush isn't quite deserted, but close to it. And when he suggested it after swinging by the station to meet with Chrissy after her show, Eddie has to admit he'd picked it for that reason. He really wants Chrissy's advice. What would you do if you were worried about one of your callers? He asks, and Chrissy's brows furrow at him. Eddie stares down at his burger and methodically peels the pickles off of it just for something to do. My only requester hung up on me last night, crying. Chrissy reaches for a fry and chews slowly. Your only requester? She repeats, and Eddie doesn't like how embarrassed he feels, even though Chrissy's tone is curious, not pitying. Cece, he says. Usually I get people screaming shit at me, but she's been calling this past week. And Eddie feels some sort of way about how he can't help the smile that tugs at his mouth. Warmth in his chest, he would really like to shove down with Chrissy sitting right in front of him, like there's some way for her to sense it. It's been nice, even though she doesn't know a single damn song, Eddie adds, because he thinks Chrissy might think it's funny. She does, and wrinkles her nose on a laugh as Eddie's heart gives a stammering beat. You let her put in requests for songs she doesn't know? She can ask me to play Prince at this point. I'm just glad someone is listening without condemning me to eternal damnation. Chrissy chews on her lip, and Eddie does his best not to notice her doing it. You're really worried about her? She asks. And Eddie doesn't know why her face has just gone a little bit pink. Oh, God. Chrissy has to fess up. She knew that already. But facing it down here, in front of Metalhead Ed himself, looking so forlorn over his caller who hung up on him, telling her he was worried about Cece, about her? Eddie takes a bite out of his burger, looking flustered. Chrissy knows the feeling. She doesn't know why she's asked it like that. Like she can't see exactly how much this is bothering him. You never played Joan Jett for me, she blurts, and immediately covers her mouth. Eddie gives her a confused look and swallows. But before he can say anything, Chrissy forces herself to set her hands on the table in front of her instead and presses on. Like ripping off a Band-Aid. You played Lita Ford and told me it wasn't like I know the difference anyway. It made me laugh so hard I got hiccups. Her heart is hammering in her chest as she watches Eddie blink at her. You? He asks. And there's something beyond disbelief in his voice. Something that Chrissy can't quite decipher. And she can't help the way she shrinks into herself, sinking into the sticky vinyl of the booth. You've been calling? Chrissy squeezes her eyes shut and nods. I'm sorry, I couldn't sleep, and you never got any requests, and... She stops before she admits that she found the sound of his voice comforting, his familiar drawl keeping her company as she hid from her demons. Because there are certain things that are just too embarrassing to admit. Are you mad? Eddie is having a very weird day. He thinks it might have been brought on by lack of sleep. Because there is no way in hell that Chrissy Cunningham, Hawkins' most beloved only morning DJ, just admitted to being his mystery caller. The universe is fucking with him. I couldn't sleep, she says to him. And Eddie's heart breaks for her as she nearly chokes on it. And he is so stuck on that, on the fact that his soft-spoken insomniac requester and his exhausted morning crush are one and the same, that he was right to have been worried about the both of them, that he almost misses her quiet question. Almost. Jesus H. Crucified Christ. How on earth could he be mad at her? For what? For not being able to sleep? For calling into his show and keeping him company 1 minute at a time? For tying up the line so he couldn't get shrieked at for at least another 30 seconds? Cece. Cece. Chrissy Cunningham. He doesn't understand her reasons, but like hell is he mad at her. But before he can say so, Chrissy shoves herself out of the booth, digging in her pocket while he sits there, gawping like a fish. I'm really sorry, Eddie. I never meant to lie to you about it, she says quietly, and throws a $10 bill on the table in front of him. I like that you were happy after your show for once. I liked your smile. That's all. And by the time he gets his brain back in gear, Chrissy is halfway down the road. She remembers the nightmare tonight. Eddie Munson glares down at her. Hair wild and eyes disdainful as he sneers. And it's wrong. Wrong! Because Eddie is kind. He's always kind. He treats Dustin like a brother and laughs over the phone line with her and worries about people he's never met and... Who could ever give a shit about you? Eddie asks, his face hard. Fucking annoying little bitch. Your mother is right about you. Chrissy sits straight up in bed. Sweat swathed down her back. She feels sick. And maybe she deserves this. Because somewhere deep in her heart, she knows that it hadn't just been about giving Eddie a requester. No. She knows exactly why she kept at it. His delight? Sure, fine, but Chrissy... Jesus. She just wanted someone to talk to. Eddie puts her brain at ease. Something about him makes her staticky mind go quiet. And God, that's all she'd wanted after waking up too many times with her mother's voice in her ear. It's unfair that her nightmares are corrupting that, turning his friendly, familiar tone into something dripping with indifference, with spite. And she reaches for her radio before she knows that she's doing it. Music blurs into itself, and Chrissy couldn't pick out the words if she tried, staring up at her ceiling while guitar and drums crash into each other, blending into organized chaos at the seams. And this is never going to be Chrissy's first choice, but God, does it go far in giving her white noise with which to drown out her thoughts. Cece. Chrissy nearly chokes. She rolls over to turn up the volume, just a little bit, because she knows she's hearing things. Because Metalhead Ed is not talking to her over the radio. She'd thoroughly embarrassed herself in front of him today, and she wouldn't blame him if he never wanted to talk to her again. Probably incredibly weirded out by her secret late-night calling, and insulted to boot. She still doesn't know how she's going to face him in the morning. If you're listening tonight, and I hope you aren't, and it's because you're asleep, but he cuts himself off, rambling so far from his DJ voice that Chrissy's heart gives a startled thud in her chest. Because this is around the time you usually call, I just wanted to tell you, I'm sorry, darling. And she doesn't have time to let her head spin on that, because while she whirls around on what on earth he could have to be sorry for when she's the one who made things weird, Eddie continues, slipping back into his radio tone with ease. As for the other three of you listening right now, my apologies as well, but I heard a few weeks ago that this was a very kind girl's favorite song, and I'd really like to see her smile again. So deal with it. And this can't be real, because Billy Joel is coming through the speakers at 3 a.m, needle dropped by Metalhead Ed. And though she knows she mentioned something a while ago while setting up a new album that she'd loved Uptown Girl, the only way Eddie would know that was if he'd been listening. And she knows her show isn't to his taste, knows her bubblegum pop hits and synthesizers and keyboards aren't his scene. But then again, why couldn't they be? She's been listening to his show. There's no reason he couldn't have been listening to hers. But she can't think of a reason why. It's too ridiculous to even think on the idea that he could have been listening right back the whole time. But maybe she isn't the only lonely soul looking for home on the radio. Dustin presses a paper to the window, and Eddie stares at him. Wrap up early. Do it. Far be it from him to challenge the almighty Henderson. He's biffed his timing anyway, and can spare a couple seconds for a sign-off if that's what Dustin wants from him. Eddie figures he's got some new ad to push. Whatever, he's had a long night. It doesn't occur to him that it could be something else. Not until Dustin practically throws him out of the booth with a harried, "Get the fuck outside, dumbass!" tossed over his shoulder. And Eddie wonders for a moment how Paul would feel if he knew that his favorite little underling has such a foul mouth when he's away. But he doesn't have much time to ponder on that, because as he's fishing for his keys in his pocket at the top of the stairs, someone clears their throat. She's wrapped up in a big sweater against the morning chill, hair loose and brushing against her face in the cool breeze. "You listen to my show?" Chrissy asks, looking at him with big eyes. And Eddie swallows, feeling blindsided. But this is how he nearly lost her in the first place, not being fast enough to get his damn thoughts together. And, like hell, is Eddie about to let her wallow in her own embarrassment again? "Every morning," he says. And when her smile cracks over her face like the rising sun, Eddie can't help that he smiles back. She steps toward him, tentative and restrained as she searches his face, her lower lip caught between her teeth. "For the record," he says, and scratches at the back of his neck, trying desperately not to wilt under her scrutiny. "I was never any kind of mad at you, okay? Nothing to be mad over. Worried, though. Worried, I definitely am." And Chrissy's shoulders slump. She fidgets with her sleeves as Eddie's heart aches, and all he wants to do is pull her in, wrap her up in his jacket so nothing bad in the world can ever look at her again, can ever get its nasty little claws into her soft soul and leave her to rot. "I didn't mean to make you worry," she says, and Eddie believes her. "I was upset, and you make things feel like they aren't so bad." Oh, his face is absolutely on fire. But that's okay, because Chrissy is blushing too. So at least neither of them is alone. "I like you a lot, Eddie," Chrissy says. And she looks like she's fighting very hard not to look down at her shoes. "I'd like to get to know you better, if that's something you could want to." And Eddie thinks that Chrissy might be the bravest person he's ever met, because she just said what he's been trying to stamp down on for months, every time they'd cross paths in the hallway. And she's said it out loud, and in front of him, like... well, not like it's nothing, because it's kind of everything. But damn, she even looked him in the eye the whole time. Chrissy is still waiting for an answer. And even though Dustin has bought them spare minutes, the time here is growing short, and Eddie is starting to feel like he's never going to be able to make his brain work fast enough to keep up when it comes to her. He is damn sure willing to try, though. "Cunningham, you have no idea how much I want that." Chrissy lights up like someone flipped a switch, her eyes bright all over again. The sun could never compare. And Chrissy has to go. Her show is starting soon. He knows that. And he knows they're going to have to pick this up later. God, he can't wait for that. He's going to need proof he didn't make up this conversation. And then suddenly Chrissy is there, in his space, with her hand on his arm, and he doesn't know when she got so close, but he isn't complaining. The softest kiss pressed against his cheek. And Chrissy is gone, her sneakered footsteps tapping up the stairs behind him, as Eddie brings his hand up to his face. He brushes against the burning skin where she just was, like he can keep her there if he just holds on hard enough, popped up on her toes to reach him, and smelling like that citrusy perfume he can smell in the booth some nights, even after she's been gone for hours. Eddie will consider that proof enough. You're on the Hawk with Songs That Rock. Metalhead Ed with you tonight with another serving of heavy metal for your witching hour. Cece, you're too asleep to hear it, but I've got your request in. I'll see you at home, darling. The end. Office notes. All right, so when I got this idea, I asked around, and someone had already done a night and morning DJ AU. I haven't read it yet because I didn't want it to influence mine as I was writing, but I will be doing so soon. And in the meantime, you should go check out Wake 86.9 by The Rookie King 412.
I need a nap. They're exhausting.
Comment? Reader's Notes.
Radio AU! I would just like to point out that A, Here Just Roar has blanket permission, and I greatly appreciate that, but B, Here Just Roar writes sentences where sometimes it's one period, five lines of sentence. I need to breathe. It's very difficult to be me, personally.
Also, I had a lot of fun playing around with, like, phone voice, radio voice, narration voice, inner voice. Whether or not there's, like, enough differentiation, different story, but I definitely had a lot of fun with, like, trying to do all of the iterations of character voice. Yeah. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.